and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless, listening to him. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have not now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face towards the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, "I am overcome with anguish because of this vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, take you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe." Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed," he said. "Peace, be strong now, be strong." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength." So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come." I read one more than I should.
How's that? Still like God's speaking to us. Here we go. That better? In here? Fantastic. Thank you, Mover. That's all right. You can read as much as you like. It's God's word. It's the most important thing today. This morning, we won't have the verses on the screen as we once have. What I want to encourage you guys to do is have your Bibles open. There's Bibles in front of you. Open to Daniel chapter 9 and 10. Most importantly, Daniel chapter 10. And we're going to go through that together. Which I encourage us to be looking at together as I go through it. But before we do that, I just want to encourage us. We've been in this series, Daniel, that's not the series, that's an old series. I'm not sure why that is coming up. Don't you love technology? And we always go, who's wrong with technology? There we go. That's what we're after. So we've been in the series, Stand Stories of Courage. And today we're looking at Stand in Faith, or Stand Firm in Faith. And what I want us to do, just with the person next to you, just very briefly, for those who haven't been here the last 4 weeks or 3 weeks, you won't be able to answer this entirely, but what's one thing that you have learned about this series or about Daniel or the book of Daniel over the last few weeks? For those who are new, you may want to talk to the person next to you about what it looks like in your eyes and your heart to to stand in faith. So this is a couple of minutes just to talk to someone about what you've learned and also what it looks like to stand in faith. Alright, well hopefully I had a moment just to speak about something you've learned, something that's encouraged you, or discussed what it looks like to stand in faith, which is the topic this morning. But I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you've been praying for something, like really praying hard. It might be a hardship or something that you're asking God for, but it feels like it's just falling on deaf ears. You're praying hard, but just God is not answering your prayers. It's been 7 days, 7 months, 7 years, and you just feel like maybe God isn't there, or he's just not hearing you properly. Maybe you're in that situation right now, and you've heard people say to you, don't worry, there'll be light at the end of the tunnel. And you're thinking, well, I can't really see any light there. I don't really feel like there's any hope in this situation. There's been many times in my life where I've felt that way before as well, especially when you support the Dragons. It's one of those things where you're praying hard, but there just doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. Unless you get Wayne Bennett, the coach, that's the only way. We win comps, apparently, but anyway. But I mentioned this story before. Back in my first year at Bob College, it was probably the worst year of my life, and I mentioned this in our series already. It was a year I struggled with anxiety and depression quite extensively. And it was really a season of God really molding me, teaching me to rely upon Him and His strength, which is what today is very much about. But I remember one time in particular, this being at my grandparents' place, and during this time, everything was just so dark around me. Everything was overwhelming. I'd just listen to the news, and I'd just be filled with this sense of anxiety about the world and everything that was going on. If you haven't been in that place before, having anxiety and depression, it's so hard to explain or describe. But it was just full on. I remember one time being at my grandparents. I used to stay at their place because I lived quite close to college, a few nights a week. And I remember just being in bed trying to go to sleep. My mind was just going a million miles an hour. I just had felt this overwhelming sense of anxiety, just this darkness come over me. So much so I just had to get out of bed in the middle of the night, just drive home to the comfort of my own bed, my own room, the security of my own home. That was the kind of anxiety that I was experiencing at the time. And during the week, we on Thursday, there was a profile for the Are You Okay Day. You might have seen that in the news, and it was a big event. And I want to encourage you today and ask the question, are you okay? Because if you're not, then I encourage you to come see me or one of the leaders so we can pray for you. Come alongside you in it if you are suffering from some form of mental illness or mental health. Because it is so difficult trying to get through it on your own. That's the reality of the situation. And my heart is to support whoever is going through a similar experience as to what I experienced. But if that's you, we want you to come and pray, come to us so we can pray for you, because that's inevitably how I got through it. I had people in my life praying for me, supporting me outside of professional help that I was getting to work through the situation, but helped me through that process, and I could see light up in the tunnel. But during my time, I often wondered, going through that experience, whether there was light in the tunnel, whether there was hope available. And I was often left asking the question of God, what on earth is going on here, God? What? I just don't get it. What is happening to me? What is going on? And I think some of you, as Merv read out that passage, are probably thinking the same about Daniel chapter 10. What on earth is going on here? What is happening, God? Well, I found that to be the case. I don't know about you, but I found that to be the case with a lot of the Old Testament. We either read over and are like, oh my goodness, what did I just read? That makes no sense whatsoever. But the danger you and I may fall into, and the trap we may fall into, is to completely neglect these passages and just not read them or nothing to do with them. But we do so at our own peril, because we have buckler's chance of understanding the Gospels, the New Testament, in particular Revelation, if we don't have a good grasp on what God is trying to communicate through the Old Testament prophets and through the Old Testament as a whole. And so again, the question, what's going on here? What's going on in this chapter, Daniel chapter 10? Well, as we've been looking at over the last few weeks, we come to a point in Israel's national story where they're in exile. They've been conquered by the Babylonian empires. They've been brought in as hostages at the hands of the Babylonian empire. And at this point in Israel's national history, at this point in their story, they've been in exile for about 70 years. 70 years they've been crying out to God. 70 years they've been petitioning God, God, where are you? Why are we still here? We are sorry, God, come for us. What we know of Daniel at this point is that he's not a young man as he once was when he started this series. He's a very old man. If last week we looked at Daniel in the lion's den, if he was 80 back then, he's coming up to about 85 years of age here, because this account takes place during the reign of King Cyrus, and he was the fourth king that Daniel served under whilst Israel were in exile. And last week we saw how King Darius was in charge, and now we have King Cyrus. Darius reigned about 3 years, and then King Cyrus took over, the Persian Empire took over, so which makes Daniel around 83 to 85 years of age approximately. But 70 years in exile, that's a long time to be praying, isn't it? A very, very long time to be petitioning and praying God for restoration, for him to come through for them. And for them, a long time, it is a long time to be calling on God's name in repentance, only to seemingly have your prayers fall on deaf ears. God, are we ever going to return to our land? God, are you ever going to forgive us for what we did? I wonder how long you've been waiting for your prayers to be answered. Again, 7 weeks, 7 days, 7 years. This was 70 years of waiting upon God to answer their prayers and their petitions for help. And one of those who was praying probably the hardest out of them all was this man, this prophet, Daniel. And what we see is God ultimately honor his faithfulness, because he was a prayer warrior. If you're talking about prayer warriors, this man was like something to be modeled, something, an example to be modeled. And if we jump back to Daniel chapter 9, we get a glimpse into the kind of a prayer warrior that Daniel was. So if you want to turn to me to Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse 1, it says this. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer, in petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and I confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. And if we jump down to verse 17, Daniel says this, Now, O God, hear the prayers and the petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy, Lord. Listen, Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act for your sake, my God. Do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Is that not a man crying out to his God? Prayer and petition, calling on his name, trusting in his promises to be fulfilled, trusting in a God that saves. And what does God do throughout Daniel's life? He honors that faithfulness. As we looked at last week, there's this beautiful interaction, relationship taking place between divine faithfulness and human faithfulness. As we are faithful to God, he is faithful to us. And Daniel receives hope. He receives a vision from an angel, Gabriel, in chapter 9, but also another vision in chapter 10 of an angelic being, this Holy One. A vision of a man, or a man-like figure, come to proclaim hope on Daniel and the nation of Israel. Daniel 10, 5 and 9 says this, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem, his face flashing like lightning, and his eyes flamed with like torches. His arms and his feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me, my face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted. I lay there with my face to the ground. Now it's very interesting here in this passage that Daniel is the only one that sees this vision. But he's not going loopy, he's not going crazy, because the men that are with him, they run away terrified. They hear the vision, they just don't see it. So I don't know about you, I don't know if you've seen an angel, like, oh, there's another beautiful angel, isn't that pretty? When angels showed up, holy, meaning unholy, people were freaked out. They were terrified. These holy beings come into the presence of unholy people. People were on their faces, prostrate, before these incredible, magnificent beings. And there's much debate about who this being is, whether it is actually Jesus, because he does appear in times, a second person of the Godhead in the Old Testament. It's called a Christophany. There's debate about whether it is actually Jesus, Gabriel, or another angelic being. Whatever the case may be, doesn't really matter, because this is a vision of hope, a messenger of hope come to proclaim hope for the nation of Israel. It is a message ultimately to remain strong, to have faith that God is at work. He will do a new thing once again. Ultimately, this is a message for Daniel and the nation of Israel to stand in faith, to stand firm in their faith, not in an unwavering sense of believing that God will bring about future restoration. And I believe the same is true for each of our situations, for your situation. That God desires to breathe hope into them. What we see from Israel, that even though God brings judgment, grace is soon closely followed. What he does is he plants these little seeds of hope in our life that they give birth to life and they flourish into this sense of hope. And this is exactly what's taking place in this passage. God is at work in your situation. I believe that firmly, whatever you're going through. And in this passage, what we see and what is revealed to us is three things, three key things that we need to remember when standing in faith. And the first is this: God cares about you more than you do. God cares about you more than you care about yourself. Do you believe that?
Amen.
If you don't believe me, Daniel 10:10-11 says this to Daniel. The angel says this to Daniel. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Again, one of the things that this angel is trying to reiterate to God is that, to Daniel, is that he is very precious to God. Daniel need not be alarmed because he has been faithful to God, because he has remained true to God's word. God is being faithful to him, and this angel is responding, or sent, as a ministering spirit, an extension of God's mercy and grace to one of his faithful servants, Daniel. And again, the same is true of us. Those who are faithful to God, he will be faithful to you. Those who call upon God in prayer, those who submit themselves to God, he will come through for you. He will answer your prayers and your petitions. It may not always be what you hoped or what you would have thought, but God will answer them in his time. Some of us at the moment in our lives, this is what we need to hear, that God loves you. He cares about you. You are so precious in his sight. There's nothing more you can do to please God. There's nothing in your life that you can't do that would make him like you or love you even less. He loves you because of who you are. You've been uniquely created. You're uniquely made. You are precious to God. Do you know what the word precious means? It means valuable. You are valuable to God. And I have to be honest with you, I have a lot of people in my life that I love and that I like to honor, but they're not so much precious to me. My wife and my children, they're precious to me. My best mates I went to the footy with last night, I love them and I want to honor them, but I wouldn't say that they are precious or valuable to me. My mate of mine that I like to work out with, I've known him for a number of years, he trains me, I've got a lot of respect for him, but he's not precious to me. Again, my wife, my children, they are precious to me. And our good God, he looks at you and I in the same kind of love that a loving father has for his children. You are precious to God. That is the truth of the matter. Whatever you're going through right now, believe that you matter to God. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to come through for you. Daniel goes on and the voice says to him, you are precious to God, so listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I've been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Three things we need to remember. God cares about you more than you care about yourself. Second thing is this. God is doing more than you can understand or imagine. He's doing way, way more than you could ever understand or imagine in your life, in your situation. Again, if you turn to verses 12 to 13, he says this. The angel says, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. What you and I need to realize within our lives is that there is a spiritual battle at work, a spiritual battle at play, and our battle isn't against flesh and blood, it's against the powers and the principalities of this dark world. In other words, what you see with your flesh and your blood, what you see in the physical realm in which you see, that's not all there is. The Bible tells us that there's a spiritual dimension, a spiritual realm going on here. And this passage proves it. in this story, there is much, much more going on behind the scenes than Daniel is aware of or could even imagine or know. And this prince that is being spoken about in these few verses, it's probably referring to one of Satan's angels. So what the Bible tells us about Satan is that he was an angel in complete communion and relationship with God, who rebelled against God. And for that, he was cast out of heaven. And along with him, other angels too that sided with our enemy Satan. And whether this is Satan himself or just one of his angels, again, it doesn't really matter. We're not given, it's not clear who it is. But what is clear is that this is an evil power who has a clear influence over the Persian Empire, which reveals to us that this spiritual realm, this evil realm, has clear influence over this physical reality. They have a clear effect on the events that take place in our world today, on our earth. And this angelic conflict, this angelic warfare that's going on in the heavenly realms, is one aspect of the spiritual warfare that the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians 6:11-12. He says this: "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." What we must remember is that the enemy does not want us to have hope in life. He doesn't. He'd rather us experience hopelessness, because if God cares for us, he hates us. We are created in God's image. And what he's revealing in this story is that he is binding these messengers, these angels of hope, so that Daniel and Israel have no hope. They are given no hope. But see, it's because of Daniel's prayers, his persistence, in his partnership with God, is that that's what mobilizes God into action. Again, this interaction is taking place between divine faithfulness and human faithfulness. It's Daniel's prayers that mobilizes God. He sends Michael, the other angel, to release this messenger so that he can go speak to Daniel. So what this passage also reveals to us is that prayer is so important. Not only does it reveal that, but it also reveals the purpose of prayer, because it again mobilizes God and allows us to partner with him in furthering his kingdom in this world. Verse 12 again says, "Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." So I ask the question, what is going on in your life at the moment, where you may be unaware of God's activity in amongst you? What's going on in your situation right now where God may be doing something that you aren't aware of? How have you been praying? What have you been praying for? How have you seen God at work in the picture? Is there little subtle glimpses of hope that you look at and say, "Oh, that's God"? Maybe it's a person being brought into your life, or something that's going on in your situation, and you're like, "God is at work. He does care." As I look back on my life and the hardships or just the life circumstances that I've experienced, I've seen God at work in weird and wonderful ways. Ways I didn't even imagine at the time. As I look back on those, in hindsight, on those hardships, on those experiences, I can tell you I've looked back and seen, well, God was at work in that situation. And it's only served to deepen my experience of him, deepen my faith in him, realizing that he does care, and he is at work behind the scenes. Just because I didn't see anything did not mean that God was not doing something. Let me say that again. Just because you don't see God doing anything doesn't mean that he isn't doing something in your life. And I don't know how this would apply to you, but if God does care about the little things in my life that I can look back on and say that's God at work, 100% he cares about the things that are going on in your lives. How do we keep standing in faith? Because first of all, we believe by faith that God cares about us. Second of all, that he is doing much more than we could ever understand or imagine. And thirdly, because God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Daniel 10, 17 and 19, it says, "How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Then the one who looked like a man touched me again and I felt my strength returning. Don't be afraid," he said, "for you are very precious to God. Peace, be encouraged, be strong." Well, I've said this story before, but my background is in sports ministry. I used to be involved with an organisation called Athletes in Action. And the role of this organisation is to come alongside not just professional athletes, but elite athletes, any athlete who is seeking to align their sport and God together. And it's ultimately so that athletes, which is so prevalent and so they can fall in the trap of doing this, that sport becomes their God as opposed to worshipping the one true God. That was true in my life, so I was blessed to have an involvement with this organisation. One of the things that they do is they run this camp called the Ultimate Training Camp. And this camp, what you do is you apply these five principles of life to your sport, to your everyday life. And then the last thing you do, the very last thing you do, is a 20-hour sports marathon or sports blitz. It was unbelievably difficult, unbelievably hard. And my first one I went on was in 2009 in New Zealand. And the point of this sports blitz, which is called the special, is to exhaust you spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So much so that all you cannot rely on your own strength, but that of God's. So you learn these principles, and the point is to apply them within your daily lives as you go about your life as an athlete. And that's exactly what happened to me. Again, it's one of those experiences you have to take part in to experience what I'm talking about. But I experienced God in some amazing ways that I would not have experienced had I not done this camp, had I not done this special. And guess what? When I got to the end of my strength, it was true. He took over. If we're going to go to the next screen there, Ian, that's me going at it. You can see how exhausted I am. The last thing they make you do is they literally make you carry the cross. And you run up this hill, or it's like a 3-4 kilometer run, and I had spent all my energy, and I was in tears at the end, just purely because of the experiences I had in this moment. But nothing left, God stepped in. And once I did this, I knew that no matter what life threw at me, I could get through it. Because God showed me in that moment how much relying on Him works ultimately. The reality of the situation revealed to me in this passage is this: until you fully embrace your weakness, you will never appreciate and experience His strength. Let me repeat that again. Until we fully embrace our weaknesses, you and I will never appreciate and experience God's strength. It's in those moments where you're crying out to Him and say, "I can't do it anymore, God. I just don't have anything left to deal with this situation." In those moments that He seems to come through for us. And until you embrace your weakness, you'll never fully experience or understand His strength. This is what it looks like to relinquish our pride, relinquish control, which is what we've been looking at the last few weeks. We lay all that down and say, "God, I've got nothing left. Take the wheel, take control." And from my experience, it's when you do that, God just works in an instant. I don't know why He gets us to this point of reliance upon Him, but believe me, there's a purpose in it. Going back to our theme this year, the Apostle Paul, speaking in his hardships that he was facing in 2 Corinthians 12:8-10, he says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient to you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Again, maybe, have you ever thought that a situation you're in, when you get to those times when you're on your knees before God, maybe that's where He wants us? Again, for whatever reason, He allows these things to happen in our lives so that we can come to rely upon Him. Sometimes it's the wake-up call that we require. That was true in my life in that year from hell I had. But not only that, but hardship in our weaknesses, our general weaknesses as well. What are some of your weaknesses in your life? It may be surprising to you, but one of the weaknesses in my life was public speaking. For a number of years, I absolutely hated it. So when I felt the call of God in my life to be a pastor, I was like, really? Seriously? I didn't mind it from time to time, but I used to be petrified of public speaking. Now, if you go to my old church, CBC, they'll tell you how I got up and mumbled my way through and just was hopeless. I still struggle to this day, but again, it's because I laid it down at the feet of the cross and say, I've got no ability in this whatsoever, God. You need to take control. Every time I get up, it's exactly what I do. I just hand it to God and say, I don't have the ability to summon, just talk, and say whatever, like some pastors do. I don't have that ability. But in my weakness, God has used me and strengthened me. He's empowered me and strengthened me, I believe, with the ability to speak. And again, what are some of the areas of your life that you are feeling, I can't serve God in that way? I don't have capacity, I don't have the experience, I don't have the know-how. But let me tell you, if God has called you to something, He will empower you, He will strengthen you, He will use you. Verse 17, this is what Daniel says to the angelic being. He says, how can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone. My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. And some of us are in that situation right now. This captures exactly where you are in life. My strength is gone. I've been hanging on to this marriage for 7 years. I've been hanging on to my kids. I've been fighting for this. Financially, I just don't think I can do it anymore, God. My strength is gone. And then in verse 18, what takes place? It's one who looked like a man. He touched me. He touched me again. And Daniel said, and I felt my strength returning. When he touched me again, I felt my strength returning. Don't want us to miss this. When he touched me, I felt my strength returning. Some of us here this morning, all we need is one touch and our faith is restored. All we need is one touch and we're coming back to Christ. One touch and you're believing God for that thing that you've been praying for so long. One touch and that awesome, amazing experience of God, and you are given the ability to persevere and hang in there. As we finish this morning, I want to be really honest with you, because whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're petitioning God for, whatever you may be praying for, you may get what you've been asking for, but you may not. But just because you don't see anything doesn't mean that God isn't doing something in your life. People are going to look to you and they're going to wonder, how is he still standing? How is he still enduring? How has he not given up yet? And you'll say to them, well, because I believe by faith that first of all, God cares about me more than I care about myself. Second of all, God is doing more than I could ever understand or imagine. And thirdly, because God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. I've embraced my weakness, therefore I've tapped into His strength. And what we need to hear this morning is that your prayer and my prayer, prayers are heard. Amen. I trust in the God who is good. He's working all things for His ultimate purpose. That's how I continue to stand. But just because I don't see anything doesn't mean God isn't doing something. That is how we are given the ability to stand in faith. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this message of hope that you have proclaimed and given to your prophet Daniel. This message of hope that we can take with us into our everyday lives and for our hardships, that which we are facing so often, Lord God. Lord, help us to realize how much you love us. Help us to realize you are at work behind the scenes. And help us to realize ultimately that as we lay ourselves down, is in that moment that you are made strong. Father God, I pray for my fellow brothers and sisters this morning. And I know there's people in here going through hardships. I know there's people going through sicknesses, family troubles. Lord God, I just ask by your Holy Spirit that you would reveal to them a sense of hope and purpose in and through that situation. Father, as we come to sing this awesome and amazing song now, Cornerstone, I pray again, Holy Spirit, that you would comfort us, that you would fill us with a hope that there is something greater going on, something that we don't truly understand or imagine, But I pray, Lord God, that you would renew in us a sense of hope and purpose as we sing this song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand to join us.